Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Gonna take a freight train.
Welcome back to 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. And we're having a great visit with our good friend Michael Stoltzman. Michael is the research fellow for the Employment Policy Institute. Michael, tell us a little bit about your organization and how we can find you, please. Michael, are you there? All right, we lost Michael. We're going to get him back. Folks, we're talking about the minimum wage and why it is a sinister and insidious an evil, in my opinion, it's an evil device, an evil political device, because it is supposed to help people. That's the story, right? That's the story you're told, is that it will help you. But what we find out is for every one that it may help, it's five others. The research shows that it's about a 1-to-5, 1-to-4 ratio. And the idea is that when you raise minimum wage, the story, this the sales pitch is if when you raise minimum wage, you allow people to make more money, and you know, Michael, one of the things that I was saying when we went to the break earlier is in the old days, 10, 20, 30 years ago, if you raised minimum wage, you might actually not have hurt employment as bad. Because there wasn't much else companies could do. They needed these people to work. And so what it wound up doing was it wound up putting pressure on inflation by wage increases. But in the 21st century, especially in the second decade of the 21st century, the minimum wage is more evil, I think, now, Michael, than ever, because as a business owner, I now have other options. I can turn to technology. There's something called a kiosk, for goodness sake, that you get at the grocery store, at McDonald's, or at the airport. I can buy technology and forego hiring somebody. Minimum wage, in my opinion, is more evil today than ever. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right about that. I mean, there was actually an interesting story in the Financial Times a week or two ago where they talked about how McDonald's locations in Europe, 7,000 of them are going to be replacing cashiers with electronic kiosks.
Yeah.
So this is no longer sort of a hypothetical thing. This is actually happening. You know, there's been articles that talk about sort of restaurants moving towards kind of using an iPad-type system instead of actually having waiters. So I think
And eventually you'll just sit by a conveyor belt, right? You type in your order, your table will be by a conveyor belt, your food will just come down the line on the belt.
Well, I hope not, because that wouldn't be a very romantic evening out.
I know, but you can thank minimum wage for that. That's the story I'm sticking to.
Right. You know, and the thing is, once those jobs go away, once customers get used to, you know, in the same way that, you know, I think we've talked about before, people get used to pumping their own gas, people get used to bagging their own groceries, people are going to get used to this new system. And once people are used to it, those jobs don't come back. And it's not a matter of sort of, you know, standing against technology or anything like that. I think it's a matter of saying, what sort of situations are we forcing employers into as an unintended consequence of this policy?
Well, now, one of the things I said while you were off for a second there, I said I was talking about the research that shows, and if my memory serves, you know, only about 1 out of 5 people who get a minimum wage increase, who are available for a minimum wage increase, it actually only helps about 1 out of 5. What do you think?
Yeah, it's usually about 1 out of 5 is sort of the what you would think of as sort of a minimum wage or, you know, a single mother supporting children. And there are, you know, there are really effective public policies out there that operate through the tax code to boost their wages. And I think that's the right way to approach it, because when you do it through a mandate on employers, you get these consequences. But we actually had another study where we looked at sort of, well, let's look at families that have children where a family earns the minimum wage. We found some really interesting results. You know, if you're a lot of these adults, like if you're an adult that's earning $10,000 a year or less, about half of them had spouses that were earning $40,000 a year or more, Mm-hmm. Another about a third had a spouse earning between $20,000 and $40,000. So even among adult minimum wage earners, there's a lot of extra income supplementation you never hear about. And this is why, you know, 28 states raised their minimum wage between 2003 and 2007, and we didn't see any reduction in poverty. I think this
now speak. You bring up the states. A lot of people would say, well, why are you guys talking about this? We've already had a minimum wage increase across the country, and there's not really one particularly being fought for nationwide, but there are state and local governments who are doing this right now, aren't they?
There are. Well, there were 12 states this year that considered legislation, and thankfully, many of those, I think, many of those states sort of understood that, you know, well, at least during a recession, they seem to understand that labor costs can affect employment. We'll see if that memory carries over once the recession's over. But, you know, I was just at this event yesterday where they were talking about a national minimum wage increase, and they described it as a key component of an economic recovery package of raising
wow.
the minimum wage at $10 an hour, which just strikes me as sort of so blinkered. And kind of not understanding, you know, if people are hesitant to hire because they're uncertain, because, you know, because it's,
right.
times are difficult, because they already have very narrow margins, it sort of boggles my mind that you would raise, you know,
well,
raise that minimum.
The people who are proposing a minimum wage increase right now, Michael, don't know what a margin is. You described a margin. They don't know what that is. So that's the reason they have that argument. Michael, give us the website. Tell us how we can find your organization.
Yeah, they can go to epionline.org, and we've got the new study posted up there that we talked about today on minority young adults. It's an interesting read, and there's a one-page summary there for people.
epi.org, folks. Check it out when you get a chance. Hey, Michael, thanks for being here. Good job today.
epionline.org. Yeah, hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. EPIonline.org.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.